Morning. All of us commit sins, some sins, somewhere, sometime. I only met one person in my life who swore that she was absolutely sinless, and she was delusional. But we don't all commit the same sins, except for one. I think there's one specific injunction in the scripture that every single person in this room is currently violating. If there is an exception, somebody stand up and tell me. What's the first line of the second reading? Owe nothing to anyone. I don't see anybody waving their hands to saying, I haven't committed that sin. The gospel is the last two-thirds of the Sermon on the Church, the fourth of Matthew's five sermons. Now, if I told you to write a sermon on the church, or an essay on the church, or something on the church, what would be in it? I suspect a lot of people would start with organizational, institutional matters. How are we going to distinguish our church? Well, we've got a pope in Rome, and we've got bishops, and we've got dioceses, and we've got pastors, and we've got parish councils, and what's the balance of power among them? How much is top-down, and how much is bottom-up? Liberals and conservatives might fight over where that balance is, but everybody would want to spell some of that out. Don't see any of that in this sermon, except for one little enigmatic saying, where Jesus repeats to the whole community what he'd said two chapters ago to Peter, whatever you bind shall be bound, whatever you loose shall be loosed, thus creating sort of constitutional confusion, the community as a whole and one person being given the same power. So if anything, that goes against laying out the structure of the church. When we write catechisms, where do we begin? Mostly with doctrine. What do we believe as a church? It's always been a concern. We've worked that out over the centuries, from the Apostles' Creed to the Nicene Creed to the Nicene-Constantinopolitan Creed that we recite every Sunday. A list of core beliefs, things that if you don't believe, you may be a good human being, but you're not a good member of this community. Don't see any of that. Well, how about moral precepts? Let's get down to the living matters. The Ten Commandments, certainly everybody agrees on. But almost nobody agrees on which commandment applies which way and which situation. So you get constant moral arguments about what's right and what's wrong. Let Jesus, if he's founding a church, give us some pronouncements that will create a characteristic ethic code for the Christian community. We don't get any of that. There's no list of sins against the so manyth commandment to be found in what Jesus says in Matthew's Sermon on the Church. No organizational stuff, no creedal stuff, not even any moral guidance. The whole thing is given over to a couple of points. The first part, the part we didn't read, was about being simple like children. Unless you come to the kingdom like them, you will not enter it. And the rest of it that we just read is about forbearance, putting up with, as we put it in modern American, and forgiving. And it ends with that strong parable on forgiveness, which interestingly echoes very much the Lord's Prayer. I mean, it isn't often that you get threatened in the gospel. The gospel goes out of its way to be a non-threatening document. But you get threatened here. So will my heavenly Father do to you, unless each of you forgives your brothers and sisters from your heart. And we play the same thing on ourselves when we recite the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. That could be dangerous. If God took us seriously on that one, we could be in serious trouble. But that's what's here. This insistence on forgiveness. This insistence on forbearance. This insistence on tolerance. This is how we will know a Christian community. It's what Matthew is telling us. Do we see it happening? Are we notably more tolerant of each other than non-members? Are we notably more willing to forgive each other than other folks? Not sure anybody's ever done any research that's produced verifiable statistical information in that regard. We don't really seem, I don't think, to be a whole lot better at that than anybody else. And yet that's what we're told. We even seem to go in the opposite direction, especially every 4 years. You get bishops fulminating about which moral principles are the most important, and any candidate who doesn't support this one or that one is not welcome at the altar. I don't think that fits. Fortunately, our bishops have never gotten into that. Nor are most of the bishops, actually. Most of the bishops are taking their cue on things like that from the current pope. Did you see his dialogue with the priests at Castel Gandolfo? The questions and answers from ordinary parish priests. Of course, 500 guys get to submit them, and they pick the six they want. But interestingly, one of them was a young fellow who said, "Holy Father, now we have a lot of families. Remember, this is Europe, where church going is a lot less common than it is in the United States. It's in Italy, in fact, where church going is almost extinct. We have a lot of families who come very piously to bring their children for First Communion. And we haven't seen them since the baptism. And we know we're never going to see them again. Should we be giving these kids First Communion, or should this is this a travesty on the faith?" And Benedict said, "You know, I sympathize with your position. When I was your age, when I was a young priest, I was much more severe on things like that. And if I couldn't see reasonable assurance that people were going to actually be raised in the faith, then I wouldn't give them the sacraments. But as I've gotten older, it seemed to me more and more that that isn't really what the gospel was about. But what I hear in the gospel is Jesus stretching in every possible direction to bring somebody in, not to push somebody out. So, yeah, I guess if I knew for absolute certain that this child would never be back again, that this ceremony was totally secular excuse for a party and would never have any kind of spiritual effect, yeah, I guess I'd still have to refuse to do it. But I just don't see that happening. If I can see the faintest glimmer of hope that this may stick in somebody's memory, that it may strengthen their bond with the church, that it may give this kid a little bit better chance to grow up in a Christian environment, I stretch it. And I would encourage you to do the same. You know, now, for a guy who has a reputation like Benedict's as, you know, the German shepherd, you know, the enforcer dog, you know, this doesn't sound very much like the enforcer dog to me. It sounded a lot more like this. American bishops, most of them have followed that lead. Some of them haven't. We can pray for them. We can be forgiving of them. You know? We can be forgiving of each other. We have good knockdown, drag-out fights around here every once in a while. And that's good. You know? That's a part of being a Christian church, too. Read the Acts of the Apostles. I mean, they tore each other apart over whether or not Gentiles can become members of the church. But while they tore each other apart, they didn't tear the community apart. They'd have the knockdown, drag-out fights and the beard pulling and the shouting and the screaming. But afterwards, they sat at the same table, did the same Eucharist together, continued to call each other sister and brother. And we've managed to do the same, at least so far. and I hope forever. This is very interesting. When Matthew has a chance to talk about anything he wants to talk about, I mean, he's going to do a sermon on the church. He can reach all over Jesus' teaching and pick from here and there and there, put together the sermon that's going to reflect what he thinks are the important issues. And it's not structural. It's not halakhic. It's not creedal. It doesn't tell you what you have to believe or what you have to do or how you have to organize. It just tells you, put up with each other. And why should you put up with each other? Because God puts up with all of us. And if we want God to go on putting up with all of us, it probably would be a good program for us to get on board with. This is something we need to keep in mind. Something we need to spread. Something we need to encourage around the rest of the church. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.